Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hello, everybody! Welcome back once again. You have reached H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, and I'm your host, T-Ray, and with me as co-host is...
Good old Joe.
Good old Joe. How you doing, friend?
Not too bad.
You sounded a little bit tired before we hit the record button. You doing all right? Get enough sleep?
Yeah. No, I jumped up a little early yesterday. I was up at like 6 a.m. I was out brewing beer, so...
I saw that on Facebook. Yeah, it's a nice hobby you got there.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, sorry, I forgot to mention, we are on episode 45 today, and it is August the 28th of 2016. So, speaking of number 45, we'll touch on this real briefly, because that's what we do. Our number 45 right now is Takashi Shimizu. He is a backup or farm catcher, and I think he played in two games this year, and he started one of them, and he was the catcher for Moriya, who had been called up also from the farm, and they both blew it, and then he went back down to the farm very soon after that. So, tough one for him, but, you know, I think he's just a permanent farm guy. I don't think he's got any hope of outdoing Haraguchi or Umeno. Did I say Umeno? Or Sakamoto, you know, or, I don't know. Anyways, I think he's like 32 years old or so. So, I mean, you know, it's not too late, but then he's also got Okazaki to try and beat as well. So, yeah. Anyways, Joe, I think you probably know this just because we're in communication, but for those of you out there that don't know, I was in the hospital for much of this week, had me some eye surgery, and that would be my second one this month. So let me tell you, Joe, eye surgery, I don't recommend it.
Doesn't sound fun.
Don't put it on your bucket list. You know, don't hope for it. Don't opt. Well, I mean, opt for it if, like, I don't know, maybe laser surgery is not so bad, or LASIK or whatever it's called.
Right.
But mine actually is not related to that. And so what they did, just to give you all a bit of kind of gruesome details, they did a little incision at the corner of my eye, and then they shaved away at the bone to make more room in the eye socket for my eyes to sink back into my head, because I had some problems with my eyes popping out. So, the doctor said, basically, when you shave away the bone, it feels like a broken bone. Joe, you ever broken a bone in your life?
Just fingers, so nothing too crazy, but I've had broken fingers.
Okay. I've never broken a bone, so I don't really know how it feels, but I guess maybe now I do. I don't know. It just sucks. It sucks, you know, when the bone right near your eye feels like it's broken, and anytime you smile suddenly or laugh or sneeze or cough or anything, it hurts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, don't worry about me, everybody. I will be fine, and by next week's show, I'm not even going to be talking about my eyes or the hospital or anything. So let's get into the action. Anyways, we will be right back, and we will talk about the week that was. All right, Joe. So this week we had finished to our long road trip, right? For August. We were in Yokohama for three games, and actually we were doing quite well against Yokohama heading into this one against the Bay Stars. I think we were 11-5-1, if I'm not mistaken, on the year. And on Tuesday, which was actually the day of my eye surgery, so I did not watch the game, we had Atsushinomi on the mound. And do you remember who they had, Joe?
I do not, but I can tell you.
Shoichi Ino. Yeah, it was Ino. Ino is actually one of their only pitchers that has gone, you know, has pitched from start to end of the season, you know, has been in their rotation consistently. And he's actually pretty good. I think he even made the All-Star team. But in this one, Joe, I think you're going to take us through a wee bit of scoring right off the top here.
Just a hair. So,
yeah.
So it started out good. Haraguchi came up in the first inning with bases loaded and one out, and kind of took a golf swing at the pitch because it was falling down, and took a hit to left to get the first run on. It was kind of a one hop to the left fielder, so we only got one run. But then Nakatani came up next with the bases loaded still and gets a double to right, and it kind of bounced off the wall, so it could have been a grand slam. But pretty good there, so two more runs, 3-0. Imanati comes up with runners on second and third and gets a sac fly, making it 4-0. So two outs now, and Sakamoto up comes and gets a double to the right and center and gets the fifth run across. So after the first inning, it's 5-0. We batted around and had Hojo come up and strike out twice during the inning. So other than the sack fly, Hojo's doing his business.
Yeah, you know, had Hojo to thank for getting out of that first inning, I guess.
Yeah.
Jeez, pretty good start. Nice.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a 5-run inning in the first inning of a game yet this year. Nothing I can recall.
I don't remember either.
Quite good. And then it continues in the second. Nakatani comes out, bases loaded, no outs again. And gets a hit to left to get a single, making it 6-0. And then Imanati gets a grounder to short to get another run across, making it 7-0.
After two innings. Pretty.
And then it continues in the third inning. Fukudome comes up with an out and runner on first and second and gets a double to left off the wall, making it 8-0. And then Hataguchi continues with a sack fly to get another run, making it 9-0 after three innings.
So in these three innings, then, Gooch has got two RBIs, Imanati has two RBIs, Nakatani has three RBIs, 7 out of 9 coming from those three.
Takayama's got a Moda show already.
Oh, three man, hits. Yeah, that's pretty awesome, too. No RBIs, but three hits in three innings. That's pretty amazing. Interesting, Imanati's two RBIs, neither of them are on hits, which is funny.
Yeah.
But those represent, I think, his fourth and fifth RBIs on the year. So pretty lame in that department, but that's okay. I mean, I don't want to knock guys in a 9-0 lead right here. So Nomi was just going about his business, doing a great job, and they finally got to him in the bottom of the fifth inning when catcher Tobashira hit a 2-run home run. That was to right center. So 9-2, and then an inning later, you know, you can't keep Tsutsugo down for too long, I guess. And so with a runner on second base and a 2-2 count, he hit one to right field and brought a runner home. So 9-3, nothing to worry about because that's the end of the scoring. Nomi, I believe, went 8 innings. Is that
correct?
Right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, got the win. So good for him. 105
pitches. So
that's pretty effective, yeah.
We gave up 9 hits, though, so but they were kind of spread across everywhere, so they weren't too consistent. They only gave up 1 walk, so.
Right.
Yeah.
My impression would be that when you get a 5-0 lead before you even take to the mound, like you can be a little bit more relaxed and not worry about giving up a hit here or a hit there.
Right.
So he probably was not his most intense, but he still got it done despite that, picking up win number 8 and giving himself a good chance at double digits in wins this year.
Yeah, and then Matsuda came in with the inning of relief there. First appearance of the week. We'll see a few more of those.
Yeah. And by the way, Sakamoto was the catcher for this game as well. He seems to be pairing up with Nomi quite a bit. So it's kind of good to see that. I mean, the first time that they paired up was against the Giants, and they both, I think, got knocked out in the, I think it was the third or fourth inning. So they were absolutely horrible that first time out, or they just didn't have a good rapport, but they seem to be building that up. So that's kind of nice to see.
Yeah. So all in all, a quite dominant game there.
Right.
You know, the offense started in the first inning, and that was good to see, and didn't really have much for the Bay Stars.
Right. You know, one of the things that surprises me, Joe, is that they didn't start Gomez, and I understand. I mean, he's been pretty bad lately, but he's also, I mean, he loves Yokohama Stadium. He tends to hit really well there, so I was kind of surprised. Actually, we'll see that they kept him out of the starting lineup for all three games, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, that was a little bit different. So Hataguchi got the starts at first, and Sakamoto got all the starts at catcher.
Looks like Gomez start on the third game.
You're right. Yeah, sorry. Hataguchi was at catcher for the third game, and Gomez got the start at first in that third one. But anyways, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. So we take the win in that one, but we're still 2.5 behind the Bay Stars. We're looking to try and gain ground on them and get into that crucial third spot. And so on Wednesday, we bring Fujinami to the mound, and they bring Kubo, who is a former Hanshin Tiger who has absolutely made us look foolish in his previous outings against us this year. But Joe, I think you're going to start taking us through the scoring again.
Correct. Starting in the third inning, with a runner on second, Takayama takes one deep to right, and it's about 6 inches short of being a home run for a double to get the first run in. So it's 1-0. And then Fukudome with runners on first and third. Fukudome gets a hit to make it runners on first and third after Takayama. And right. Then Kubo has a wild pitch to get the runner across there, making it 2-0 in the third inning.
Real quick on that hit by Takayama. Man, that was one of the most amazing pieces of hitting I have seen in a long time from anybody, let alone a rookie. I don't know if you caught it or if you saw just how special it was, but I mean, this pitch was like, it was up and in. There was nothing wrong with that pitch, man. Kubo had, mm-hmm. Kubo actually, I mean, that would have normally either gotten a guy to just hit a weak fly ball or even swing and a miss, but Takayama turned on it beautifully, and yeah, like you said, it was 6 inches from being a home run, so sweet hitting there. He's on fire. Sorry, go ahead.
Continue. Yep, so the scoring continues in the fourth inning. Sakamoto leads off the inning with a home run to the left field.
First career? So,
yeah, first of his career, okay. And mm-hmm. So that's 3-0. And then Fukudome hits a grounder to first into a double play. They make the out at second, and the throw back to first actually misses by a pretty good couple feet. Mm-hmm. And so it breaks up the double play, and we get two runners across. So it's 5-0.
Right. I think if I'm not mistaken, they considered that Fukudome had broken up the double play, because I think he was on time, but the throw resulted in the other one. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think he was there before the throw for sure, because he was right. The throw was to the infield side of the first base, and he was already on the bag. So yeah, I guess he probably beat it out anyway. So
yeah, so he might have gotten one RBI, and then the other one was just it was charged as an unearned run. But so 5-0 after the top of the fourth, and so the Tigers are looking great here. Fujinami is also looking pretty good, but he makes one bad pitch, and that was to Kajitani, and that was in the bottom of the fourth, a 2-2 count, and he got all of that one. And it, fortunately, it was a solo shot, so 5-1, and Fujinami continued. I believe he went 7 innings, is that right?
Correct.
7 innings, and just the one earned run. Not a ton of strikeouts, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he had 10.
Oh, yeah,
10 strikeouts, 2 walks, gave up 7 hits. So okay. Definitely a good set of numbers. Usually with Fujinami, you see 10 strikeouts, you see 10 walks. So
yeah. Stop making me laugh. It hurts my eye.
Still. So he definitely had a good outing. Went a little deep, 130 pitches, but made it through. So I think that's a solid effort from Fujinami there.
Right. And I think if I remember correctly in this one, Takahashi came in and he had one job to do and couldn't get it done. That was in the top of the eighth, and so Satoru had to come in and face a couple of good hitters in a pretty dangerous situation. And did he strike them both out?
Yes, he did.
He just looked really good. I mean, and he looked pretty pumped about it too. So that was nice to see. Yeah. Satoru did good, and then Mateo closed it off in a non-save situation. But I think did he allow a hit, or was it a 1-2-3 inning? I remember it being pretty smooth.
No hits, so two strikeouts, so maybe something. Let's see, a grounder to short. It's the other
nice.
Out, so
nice and easy.
Yep. The couple things I did want to note that Sakamoto gunned down a runner on the first inning, I believe.
Yes,
going
right.
Second. Yeah. So that's something we don't see a whole lot of is gunning runners down. And then in the third, Fujinami actually had a pickoff at first.
Yes. So, same guy.
Wow.
It was their leadoff guy. Yeah, he got gunned down at second by Sakamoto, the first of his career. And then, Fujinami picked him off at first, and that was in, I think you said, was it the third inning?
Correct.
So that's pretty cool. So Sakamoto with his first career home run, and also his first career, gunning down a runner. And then also he made a really alert play covering behind first base on an error. Jose Lopez reached on an error. It went well past, I think Haraguchi was on first, and Lopez took off for second, and it was an easy out at second base thanks to Sakamoto. So he had a great game. Takayama had another 3 hits in this one, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that was 2 straight Moda shows for him, and that
they're all doubles. three.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that breaks a club record for most Modasho, which is a three-hit game, by a rookie in team history with 12. And I think he's got two more to tie the Central League record, which is held by Shigeo Nagashima, legendary Yomiuri Giant. So yeah, there's a chance for him to do that. Just a spoiler, he did not do it this week, but there's still 21 games of action to go.
Yeah, he did get pegged in the fourth pretty good, right on the inside of it, right above his knee, and it looked like it hurt, and but he continued on. So,
and not just on this day, but he continued on the very next day as well. So we're down to a 1.5 game gap now between us and the Bay Stars heading into the third game, and we're bringing, you know, arguably our best pitcher this year and of the past, you know, 3-4 years, Randy Messenger, to the mound. And we're going up against a guy that doesn't have a lot of success against us. And his name is Petrick. I forget his first name and I don't care. Joe, you want to start us through the scoring again?
Again, the Tigers lead off the scoring.
Tigers, you know it.
In the second inning, Hojo comes up with bases loaded, two outs, and gets a grounder up the gap to left field to score one run, making it 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the scoring continues on in the fourth inning with Takayama up, with a two out and bases loaded opportunity. And if anybody watched any news this week, I'm sure they saw this.
Yes.
A grand slam by Mr. Takayama to make it 5-0.
He got all of that, and that was actually the first grand slam for the team in two seasons.
Wow.
Do you remember who got the last one?
I don't recall.
I'm not 100% sure, because I thought for sure it was Sekimoto's come from behind grand slam against the Giants in July. But then somebody said that Takahiro Arai got one in August, which I don't remember him getting any for us ever. He gets plenty of them for the Carp. But I think maybe, I mean, we beat the Swallows 20-11 one day, August 2014, and I didn't watch that game. So it might have been then, because I didn't actually check the box score. Anyhow, great stuff there. And just one more note on Takayama. In his previous at-bat, he chopped one to third, and the throw was off the base, and it looked like he actually averted the tag, but they called him out, and he looked pretty upset about that. So that could have been another RBI for him there as well. But he's got four already in this game, and please continue to tell us more about Takayama.
So in the sixth, and what opportunity again? Bases loaded and
third
no outs? Gets a double to right field to get two more RBIs, making that 6 for the game, and making it 7-0. And then Fukudome continues next with the runners now on 2nd and 3rd, and gets a hit to center to score two more, making it 9-0.
Second time this week we get a 9-0 lead. Crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we just demolished their pitching in their barn, which is nice. But once again, in the bottom of the inning where we score the 9th run, the bottom of the 6th again, they get some runs. This time it was Kuramoto who hit one to left field. There was a runner on 3rd, and so he brought one run home. And then in the bottom of the 10th, actually Lopez, who was in a huge slump until this game, hit a 2-run home run, and that one was to left center. Another no doubter. So 9-3, and that's all she wrote. Game over. Tigers sweep. Messenger with his 11th win on the year. And
Messenger actually had a Moda show himself.
Yes.
So this is his first of his career. 3 hits in 3 at bats, and he said it's the first Hanshin pitcher to record the Moda show since Fukuhara in 2006, and the first foreigner since Trey Moore, August of 2002. So it's
Fukuhara
been a while
with a
since
Moda show.
Our pitcher's coming through.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It was nice. I mean, Randy just looked like he really wanted it, and it was interesting. His second hit, I remember we were already up 5-0 at this point, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember the guys on the TV commentator saying, like, you know, why is he even bothering? He's got a big lead. I mean, he shouldn't be, you know, wasting his energy running the bases. And then when I think Hojo got a hit after Randy, and they were like, oh, why is he doing that? Like, he could have grounded out, you know, and gotten Randy out at second so that Randy could go back to the bench and rest. But now he's got to stand there. And
Hojo walked.
Hojo walked, sorry, yeah. But I remember they're saying that, and then when Randy got his third hit too, they're like, oh, I just don't understand. Why is he putting so much effort into batting? He's just got to save himself for the mound. And no, man, I mean, this guy's a horse. What?
Gives you the energy, though. I mean, like, if you're contributing, you know, absolutely. It gives you a boost, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I mean, I think the bench loves to see Randy doing his thing with the stick too. Mm-hmm. So it was great. I was excited to watch this while I was in the hospital, man. I mean, it definitely put a smile on my face. So that was cool.
Yeah, and I think Takayama, I think, had 50 RBIs after today. So
nice.
Yeah, so it's only been the 55th rookie in NPB to hit a grand slam, and then his fifth in Tigers history for Tigers rookies to have 50 or more RBIs in a season. So
very nice. Yeah. One of the things that I've heard is that Takayama, I think, is the only rookie this year to be able to qualify for the batting title, as in he has enough at bats, and there's no other rookie in the Central that qualifies. And so it's looking pretty promising that he could be the rookie of the year this year.
Pretty impressive.
Remains to be seen, but yeah, he's having an impressive week and an impressive year.
Well, after that, boom in April and then kind of the bust in May, you know, it's good to see him come back and be a consistent part of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's found his swing once again because he looked really lost for a while. And I know definitely for a while he looked like he was just trying to swing at any hittable pitch as opposed to the one that he wanted. And it seems like he's gotten a little bit more selective with his swing. Mm-hmm. And so he's looking for pitches to drive as opposed to just pitches to connect on. So that's also good to see. So we are now, I could be wrong, we're either 13-5-1 or 14-5-1 against the Bay Stars on the year. So we're just having ourselves a great time against them. And that's good because at this point we are a half game behind them in the standings. It's looking great, and we are heading off the road. We are back at Koshien. We're going up against a team that, yeah, they won their last two games, but they're also, you know, without a lot of their star players, and it's the Yakult Swallows, and we are facing them at Koshien, as we did last year at this time, right at the end of the road trip. And I remember last year we won the first one 9-0, and then we lost the next two, so I was thinking, like, oh, anything but a repeat of that would be great. And
wasn't,
well,
quite repeat.
No, it wasn't quite a repeat, but it also was not great. And so here we go, Friday night. You know, here's one other thing to note is that we used some of our core pitchers in that series against the Bay Stars, and so we're left with less experienced guys. But anyways, we bring Iwazaki to the mound, and they bring Kyle Davies. We've had good success against Davies so far, but unfortunately, Joe, I will be taking over the scoring recap or the starting it out because the road team seems to be doing their thing this week. So in the top of the third, with one out and the bases juiced, some guy named Ugo Mori, who I believe was set free by the Nippon Ham Fighters last offseason, not good enough for their roster, was picked up by the Swallows, was a backup for most of this year, but they've been so injured that he's starting to get a lot more starts. He received a little bit of help from the win, but, you know, no excuses, man. Iwazaki left one a little bit too fat, and he got enough of it to give them a 4-0 lead. That was in the top of the third, and then the top of the fourth. Same guy up at the plate, runners on first and second on a 2-2 count. And he sent one up the middle, and another run scores, so 5-0. Ugo Mori with all of their RBIs. And I did notice on this one, Joe, right when Ugo Mori swung, Uemoto, who was playing second, kind of cheated towards the first base side, and that resulted in him not being able to make it to that grounder. But I think maybe if he had either cheated the other way or even not cheated at all, it might have been preventable. I don't know if it was necessarily like a great RBI hit. It could have potentially been, you know, just a ground out. But anyways, it is what it is. So 5-0 Swallows after four.
Yeah, and then the Tigers actually get a little bit of momentum coming back in the fifth. And with runners on first and third, two outs, who else but Takayama comes up and gets a double up the right foul line to get two runs across, making it 2-5. followed up by none other than Mr. Fukudome, and getting with a runner on third. It gets an infield hit to short, was kind of a slow roller, and beat out the throw, making it 3-5. But that would be all she wrote after Egoshi comes in with a grounder to end the inning.
That was in Davies' outing, just the five innings. And then we faced relievers that I don't really know that well, at least the first two. A guy named Hirai and then a guy named Matsuoka. I've never really heard of them. And then they had Josh Lukey, the rapist or therapist or whatever. And then their closer, Akiyoshi, but we could not score off of any of them, which is kind of embarrassing because the Swallows have an embarrassingly bad bullpen. So to not score anything off of those four guys, especially two guys I'd never heard of, ooh, that hurts.
Yeah, they all gave up walks and some of them gave up hits. So there was definitely opportunities to score, but we just didn't convert.
Right, yeah. Really unfortunate. Well, Iwazaki gets hung with the loss because of the Grand Slam home run. Actually, his outing ended after that, after that inning. So he only went three innings, which is real unfortunate. Sakamoto said that it was his greed on that call, the first pitch, Grand Slam home run. Sakamoto said, it was my mistake. I need to learn from my mistake about how to call the game better. But that could just be him, you know, trying to save his pitcher from taking all the blame or whatever. Well, anyways, that was it. We had Akiyama, Matsuda, Ando, Fujikawa, and Satterwhite come in the rest of the way, and only Akiyama gave up the one run. So decent job from our relievers to get through those last six innings of work.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else to say in this one?
No, I mean, other than we had a chance to come back in the seventh and eighth, but it just didn't happen. Yeah, so could have been, but it wasn't.
Right. Yeah, so that's a real rough way to make the return to Koshien, giving up the big Grand Slam home run to lose that one. And, of course, you know, the Bay Stars won their game against the Giants. So, you know, the gap widens by one. And we go in Saturday. We bring Koyo Aoyagi to the mound. They bring Ishikawa to the mound, who's a big-time veteran who's, you know, he's good. He has 149 career wins heading into this one, which is a very good number. But he was 5-7 on the year, so he's not having an amazing season as far as wins losses goes. Anyhow, let me start this one out for you. This one started with it was kind of a really unfortunate beginning, I believe. Was there an error involved at the start?
It has to.
Yeah, there was. It was a leadoff walk on four pitches, and then on a single, Takayama bobbled it or fumbled it or whatever.
Right.
So runners on second and third with no outs. And then they got two straight outs, but they both resulted in runs. It was a Yamada grounder and a Ballantine grounder. They both scored runs, so it's 2-0 for the Yakult Swallows after one inning.
And then in the bottom of the third inning, Hojo comes up with runners on first and second with one out and gets a hit just in front of the right outfielder to get a run across, making it 1-2. So looks like we're, you know, battling back a little bit. And, you know, but.
Yeah, but sixth. Sixth inning comes along and Aoyagi is still on the mound. And it's very Aoyagi-esque. I mean, you know, he has very poor control, and sometimes it works because batters don't know what they're getting at, and then other times it doesn't work. In this case, he actually pegged Yamada with a pitch just before the crushing blow, which was against Ballantine. So with runners on first and second on a full count, he tried to throw a fastball inside, and Ballantine said, "Nah, boy, welcome to my world." 3-run home run, 5-1 lead for the Bad Boys.
Yikes. And then in the eighth, Kano comes up with a pinch hit to lead off the inning and hits a back screen home run about five rows up. So a solo shot there, making it 2-5. But that would be the end of the scoring for the Tigers.
Yes, it would. And one thing to note here, Ishikawa is actually going for a complete game heading into the ninth with two outs. And I think the bases were still empty. And we brought up Toritani as pinch hitter, and he looped one into right field, and then I think we got another hit, so it was
a walk.
On first and second, or a walk.
Yeah.
So two runners on, and we've got a chance now to tie it with one home run. And we bring up Gomez, and he strikes out to end the game. That was against their closer, Akiyoshi. But I just wanted to say this about the use of Toritani here. I thought it was pretty embarrassing for everybody involved, really. And the reason is this. As everybody knows, he's got this big Ironman streak going. But to wait until the ninth with two outs, and he actually pinch hit for Nakatani, who already had a hit in this game, who's actually looking pretty good at the plate. Toritani is not looking good at the plate. Toritani is a left-handed bat who hits very poorly against left-handed pitchers. Ishikawa is a left-handed pitcher. So it's clear to everybody in the stadium, 46,000 people, plus all the players, that the only reason we're doing this with, you know, basically one hitter to go in the game is so he can extend his streak. Well, where's the integrity of the streak now when that's the only reason for doing it? And you're not even playing to win anymore. You're saying we're down three runs. We're down to our last out. Yeah, we've got a guy due up that's got a hit against this guy that could start a rally, but let's bring in our guy that's batting under 150 against lefties so he can keep his streak going. Like, it's pretty embarrassing, I think, even for Toritani, because he knows full well. He knows that they're not calling on him because they think he's going to lead them to victory, but rather because he's got a streak. That's not cool, man. I just didn't think it was cool for anybody, especially for Kanemoto. But
yeah,
that's my rant on this one. So we lose. Now we're 2.5 behind the Bay Stars because they find a way to win again. And we're now behind the Swallows as well, just by percentage points, but we're behind them nonetheless. So pretty bad stuff. Two straight losses to open our time at Koshien, but it's not going to get any prettier here. Today, we bring Iwasada to the mound. They bring Yamanaka to the mound. And last time I didn't get his first name right. And this time I don't care either. I think it's Hirofumi, but I'm not even going to look. So anyways, take us through the scoring, Joe.
So to start it off, we get Takayama comes up with a runner on third, which is Uemoto with his leadoff double, and got a sacrifice fly to get our first run of the game. And we actually start out with a lead here, so looking pretty good. We had a lot of leadoff hits this, start a couple innings this game, but
sure did.
Didn't really have a lot. You know, Iwasada was giving up quite a bit of hits, and it came against him in the fifth. So,
yes, it did in the fifth inning. Actually, this one started with an error by Uemoto, who had played yesterday's game, Saturday's game, and today's game, Sunday's game, at third base. And this was his second error of the game, actually, in the fifth inning with no outs. A soft grounder that he just couldn't field cleanly, and so the runner gets to first. The result of that, in the end, is with runners on first and third, and a 1-2 count to Mr. Ballantyne. No, not a home run, just a soft grounder through the wide-open left side of the infield, scoring the tying run. And then, I think it was a couple of hitters later, Nishiura is up. And runners on second and third and on a 2-2 count, he hit one to left field, scoring, I think it was Yamada and Ballantyne. So 3-1 for the Yakult Swallows.
That would be all she wrote.
Yes, that would be all she wrote. And Yamanaka with yet another complete game against our Hanshin Tigers. He 112
pitches.
Yeah, I think last time he did it in 100. So, wow. I don't know. That's not even a moral victory. It's nothing. So, as you said, Joe, we had a lot of leadoff guys reach base, including Uemoto in the first, but then there were several others. Gomez twice, Sakamoto once, and Toritani once, and I think Takayama reached on an error once. And most of those were with no outs. I think one of them was with one out.
Right.
But that was it. We never got anybody else on base. We never advanced the runner except when Sakamoto bunted Toritani over in the seventh inning. And that was kind of a desperation, like, geez, we got to get a guy in scoring position. And then we stranded him at second with one out. We got two straight outs. And so 17 out of 27 of the outs recorded were pop-ups. This is to a submarine pitcher who obviously had us completely fooled with his slow pitches and also with just his delivery where, you know, the pitches rise on us and we just kept getting under them.
Yeah.
So,
Iwasada made it through five, and then we had Matsuda come in Satterwhite, Ando, and Kyuji Fujikawa to come in relief. All had good innings without giving up any runs. To note, it was Matsuda's fourth game of the week and his fifth inning, all clean. So he did really well this week. And also, it was Fujikawa's 600th game appearance. So he's been quite the person for our team over the last, I don't know how many years, 10 years, I guess, with some a couple years in the majors there without much fanfare. But, you know, that's pretty impressive to see 600 games.
For better or for worse this year, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I mean, this year.
He hasn't been awesome this year, but at times he looks really good, and then at times he doesn't. And in this one, he actually looked pretty good. I mean, his pitches looked really sharp. And so it's a great accomplishment either way. So, you know, good on him. You know, it's great. So Gomez actually had two hits in this one, which is great because he had been slumping really badly. They were both singles, but that's neither here nor there in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know, just for him to be able to get on base and to find his timing and all that kind of stuff is good, and hopefully it will lead into some better stuff for us to come. But 3-3 on the week, Joe. I think you called a 3-3 week, but just the way you called it was not the way it turned out. And I called a 4-2 week, and I got both series wrong, and actually you got both series wrong as well, so we were we were all wrong.
Yeah, was looking good, man. It was looking good.
I
was pumped after the sweep of the Bay Stars, but
yeah,
to come in and get dumped on by the Swallows. It's just like, oh man, just can't seem to get it going when we need it.
No, it just seems like we can't keep the momentum going for more than 3-4 games at the most. I mean, we had a 4-game losing streak. We followed up by a 4-game winning streak, and now we're back on a 3-game losing streak. Early in the year, it seemed like we were just on these 1 or 2 game win and losing streaks for a long time as well. So we just don't have the extended winning streaks yet. We've had 2 4-game win streaks, and that's it. No fives or more. So,
right.
And, you know, with 21 games left, it's hard to imagine they are going to get on any more really long winning streaks because time is running out.
Right.
Every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
Let us talk about who we think would be our player of the week, Joe. And I think the choices are few. And there's one guy, at least for me, that really stood out. How about you?
Yeah. I think there's a couple honorable mentions, but I think there's one candidate. So for honorable mention, I think I said Matsuda had a really good week in relief, 5 innings, no runs. And I also am going to give an honorable mention to Messenger, who had a good outing and had a 1,000 batting average for the week, 3-for-3. So we will give him an honorable mention for player of the week. But the actual player of the week is obviously going
Takayama.
To Mr. 10 RBIs, Mr.
Yes.
391 batting average.
Yes. So, Mr. Grand Slam.
Yes. So
he
awesome
had the one error, but that's okay. Yeah.
2 errors, actually, I believe.
2 errors on the week. Okay, yeah.
On the week, so.
Right. And then actually today, he lost one in, I don't know if he lost it in the lights or what, but Hojo had to make a great play from shortstop to cover his butt to catch one. But it doesn't matter. Takayama did what he needed to do all week, and good on him. Even today, he got our lone RBI, so yeah, no doubt. I think Satterwhite had a pretty good week as well, Joe. I don't know his numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but...
Correct. Let's see. He went, let's see, 1, 2, 3 appearances.
Including today or not?
Four, including today. Including today, sorry.
3 including today,
yeah. All clean, so 2 2/3 for the week.
Yep.
Yeah. But a good number of strikeouts there. And,
well, he struck out some key batters with DNA, and then he struck out Yamada today, I know for sure.
Right.
So that was great as well, yeah. So coming in when he needed to.
Yeah, the relief's been really solid. But
last time we said that, it fell apart.
Yeah. Hunting Tigers. Hunting Tigers. Hot topics. Hot topics.
Well, let's jump into today's quote-unquote hot topic. And it was kind of tough to choose something, but basically this is what I've been seeing happen lately, Joe, and I wanted to kind of just flesh things out with you a little bit. Our infield and our choice of who plays where in the infield has been jumping all over the place lately. The outfield has been pretty consistent with Takayama in left and then Nakatani's gotten the bulk of the time in center, although today it was Shibata, and then, of course, Fukunome in right. And since we're going with five-game weeks the rest of the way, I don't think they're going to give Fukunome any more time off, because he may not need it, because we got the 2 days of rest every week. But in the infield, we have had Gomez and Haraguchi at first. We have had Yamato, Uemoto, and even sometimes backup Hojo at second. At short, we've had Hojo and Toritani. And then at third, we have had Imanari and Hojo sometimes as backup. And then Uemoto has gotten the last 2 starts. And so it just seems like we're shuffling guys big time in the infield. And do you think that we need to continue this shuffle? Or do you think there's an ideal? Or like, what do you see as something that we could do to make things a little bit better there? Because it seems like fielding-wise and even hitting-wise, we're not really getting it done in the infield.
Yeah, it's tough to think through exactly what the right way to go is. But I think what I can maybe see that Kanemoto's going with is that he's just giving everybody a fair shake at different opportunities. Obviously, this year, you know, we're probably not going to be contending, even if we make the playoffs. We're not going to be contending for any kind of championship.
Right.
So, I think it is, you know, truly a just an experiment. You know, don't get stuck with something that's too consistent, especially when you have so many people that have, you know, chances at actually playing these positions next year. It's worth spending the time doing the rotation to the extent that he's doing it. Maybe not, but yeah, I definitely think that's kind of what I'm seeing from it.
Right. Yeah, I suppose you're right. I mean, this is a time to experiment to see what we might be able to do next year. And on that note, this is kind of my, I guess, suggestion or idea maybe for third base. As much as I do like Imanari, like, the guy has absolutely no clutch in him whatsoever.
Right.
I don't know his exact numbers. Again, forgive me for not having them in front of me, but this year and last year, his RBI totals are terrible. His chances with runners in scoring position, his average must be somewhere around 100, you know, which is just awful. He's great on defense, but I think he's nothing better than a defensive replacement. I don't even know if I'd give him a pinch hit chance.
5 RBIs this year.
Yeah, 5 this year, and I think he might have had 9 or maybe 13 last year. Very few anyways. And last year he actually had probably upwards of 300 at-bats. I would say if you're gonna give Hojo the starting job at shortstop and give him as much time there as possible, which seems to be the case, I'm not against that. I'm not against not putting Toritani there, but what are you going to do next year with Toritani is the question. And we kind of talked about this a couple episodes ago when I was with Zorni. But if there's a possibility of converting Toritani to third base, why not give him that chance this year just to see how he feels there? Like you said, we're not competing for the pennant. And even in the playoffs, I don't think we're going to be taken seriously as contenders in the Central. So give him a few games there, see how it feels for him. You know, obviously let him practice there a lot as well, but give him that chance. Because honestly, I'd rather have Toritani's bat in the lineup than Imanari's.
Yeah.
And they're both left-handed bats. And at this point, yeah, I think that OBP, Toritani's, you know, extraordinary supernatural walking ability is far better than Imanari's supernatural pop-up ability. So I would say let's give Toritani third, or maybe not every day, but maybe a few times a week, give him that start there. And then maybe Uemoto can get a couple starts there as well. Maybe Imanari one, but maybe zero. Give Hojo everything at short. That's what I would say. You know, let him, even if he struggles, man, just let him work it in, because he's the shortstop of the future. And then at second base, again, since we're not competing now and since we did call up Morikoshi, from the farm, I would say at least throw him in there once, give him one start at second base, see how he does. But otherwise, maybe give it to Uemoto, and we'll live with his absolutely horrible glove as long as he can, you know, be the spark plug that he's been in the leadoff position lately. And then at first base, man, I don't know. That's just really tricky because Haraguchi You know, his bat is valuable, but he's struggling. I think he's fatiguing. Gomez right. has been struggling mightily as well. So that's kind of a toss-up. But do you have a preference at first between Gomez and Gucci?
Well, for this year, I mean, I don't think there's really an issue with, you know, doing the kind of flip-flop that he's been doing. But as far as next year, I don't know if Gomez is going to be back.
Right.
I heard that that may not be the case.
Another day, yeah.
Yeah. But so, you know, Hadoguchi, give the guy some rest. I mean, you know, if he's not catching, he's playing first, right?
Right, so, seems that way.
So I would say, you know, maybe you give him, you know, one or two games a week at first, and then you have him catch, you know, but he's catching more games than that. So it's just like, you know, you got to give him some rest. I mean, I know you want to pull Gomez, but, I'd say Gomez is only what started, you know, he had a couple days off there. 2 days off against the Bay Stars, so I think you could bring him in. He had today off as well, so he only started half the games this week. So,
Gomez was in today, and he was, I think he was off yesterday, but, yeah.
I'm sorry, yes, I have that backwards. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, it's like, as far as preference, as far as playing the base, I don't think there's much difference. But, you know, I think Kataguchi deserves his rest, especially with the catcher, being a catcher.
Right, yeah, and Haraguchi is, you know, not really impressing at catcher as far as the defensive side of things and the game calling right. side of things, and I think they like what they see out of Sakamoto, and Sakamoto's bat has actually surprised me and impressed me. I think he's counts today, but batting .286 on the year, and that's not with a ton of at bats, but it's with 33 plate appearances, 28 at bats, and 8 hits, so really not too bad.
Right, he was 6-for-18 this week, so. Yeah. With a home run.
Yeah, and that was really surprising because this is a guy that I saw at spring training that even in batting practice, I mean, he couldn't hit anything out of the infield. So I think he's really gotten used to facing, you know, high-level pitching and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, use the Gooch at first base, I would say, a couple times a week, you know, if you want to give Gomez some time off and let him clear his head or whatever. But here's where the Tigers going to have their hands tied behind their back is that they haven't ever really groomed a first baseman. They've always right. had imports at first. And so when Gomez struggles, the options are call up Haig to be first base. Oh, wait, he's injured. Or bring in Perez, who's an actual natural outfielder. We'd rather have, a ton of relief pitchers as, you know, foreigner relief pitchers. So we're kind of stuck as far as that goes. Like if Gomez yeah. isn't working, then what do we do?
Trying to think back, from my time I've been watching the team, I don't think we've ever really had a first baseman that wasn't a foreigner in like the last 10 years almost.
Yeah, I don't go that far back, but I can't think of anybody either. I know Nyota that I can play first base as well, but do you want his .154 batting average in the lineup every day? No guy. So yeah, so really the option, I guess the other option is putting Imanati at first. No guy. So, you know, we're really limited as far as that goes. But I guess just ride out the season with Gomez and Haraguchi and just ride the hot hand or whatever and hope that, you know, Gomez can find his timing again. But he really seems to be up and down as far as his production goes. Like he had, I think it was 13 home runs or 14, heading into Interleague, and then he had nothing for 6 weeks. And then he hit 6 home runs in a 2 or 3 week span. And now mm-hmm. he's had nothing for almost a month, I think. I mean, his last one was in Hiroshima at the start of August, so 3 weeks at least. So, yeah, it's just really peaks and valleys with Gomez.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we will talk about the fate of the foreigners maybe next episode, or if not, a couple episodes down the road. So stay tuned for that. And if you have any opinions, please share with us. In the meantime, Joe, let us move on and talk about the week coming up. The record gonna be. What's gonna happen with the record gonna be? See the future. Yes, they can. Check it out. Each day prediction. So as I mentioned, we only have 5 game weeks the rest of the way. We have 4 straight 5 game weeks, and then we have 1 game scheduled in the final week of the season. Obviously, if there's rainouts, that's going to change, but it really means that we will have no more than 5 in a week. So this week we are heading into Nagoya for 2. And I am guessing that we are going to be starting Fujinami and Messenger. because Nomi was actually deactivated after his start, and he'll probably take a start in the latter half of the week. So we've got our two big guns going up against Yoshimi and Valdez, it looks like, maybe for them. But it's the last place Dragons, and I'm hoping we take 2 out of 2, and I'm going to predict 2 out of 2 there. How about you?
Yeah, I'll go with I'll go 2 and 2 with 2 against 2 and 2 in the Dragons. I think we can really trounce them. We are 12 and 9 against them so far this year. So hopefully we can continue that trend, and then we go for three against
at home
the Bay
against
Stars.
The Bay Stars. Yeah, a chance to gain ground on them again after we lost it all.
Sorry, yeah, I'm going to call 2 and 1 at home. I'd like to see some wins at home. I know a sweep is an ask, but the home record is kind of atrocious this year. So,
yes, it is. The Koshin record is definitely not looking good. So for our rotation, we have deactivated Iwazaki and we've deactivated Aoyagi after their starts. And again, I think part of it has to do with us only having 5 games a week now, but then also that leaves us with a bit of a pinch for who we start in that 3-game series. We'll have Iwasada and we'll have Nomi back in time for that series, but who's the third guy going to be? Are they going to push Fujinami or Messenger to have 2 starts or not? Are they going to bring in like Kaneda, who was recently called up, or are they going to put Akiyama in the starting role? Or I have no idea. But anyways, yeah, we're going to be facing the different pitchers than we faced earlier this week against the Bay Stars. So I think we get Ishida, and we'll have Yamaguchi, and we'll have Imanaga. That's who they had this past weekend, so it could be those three. Yeah, I'll go with a 2 and 1. Nah, you know what? I'm sorry. 1 and 2. 1 and 2 against the Bay Stars. I think this is where our magic against them ends. I think it's going to be a 3 and 2 week. And hopefully we will, you know, it's just going to be enough that we're still going to have hope for the rest of the season, which seems to be the way things go with the Tigers. So they will string us along. We will get enough wins, but it may not even be enough to get us into fourth. But it's going to keep us in the hunt.
Yeah, the Carp have a magic number up there already. It's down to 14.
Jeez, so. it was 20 on the first day that it lit up, and then they won their next 3, and the Giants lost their next 3 or something like that.
Right, they're 11 games back, the Giants are, from the Carp, so I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I think, wasn't it down to like 3 games at one point?
It was like four recently, maybe the last couple weeks. So.
And then the Giants took 2 out of 3, and then if they hadn't lost in the final inning on the Sunday, it would have been like a 1.5 game gap, I think, and now it's 11. So the Carp have definitely reheated up, and in some ways that's good news because it might mean that they recool down at playoff time, but it probably won't be us facing them anyways. So.
Right.
But you know what? In a way, I want to see the Carp win the pennant just because I don't want the Giants to.
Right.
I don't like the Giants. But absolutely. Then I also would love to see the Carp get beat in the Climax Series just so that, I don't know. Their season just really bugs me. I don't know why. It just bugs me. So... That's my
I'd
hopes.
Like to see the Central League have at least a pennant, or at least a championship. You know, we haven't had too many of them against the Pacific League, so I would go with for the Carp.
All right. So. Well, I may have a change of heart depending on who makes it through in the Pacific, but if the Nippon Ham continue their hot ways, I wouldn't mind seeing them win at all.
Anyone but SoftBank. Rough go of it too, though, huh? They haven't started him pitching for a while, so.
Oh, yeah, the poor guy only hit his 20th home run the other day, so. Jeez, that guy is majors bound. It's exciting to see what's going to happen with him. So, anyways, Joe, we could continue this small talk about all sorts of stuff until people turn us off. But instead, why don't we wrap things up and wish everybody a great week, a good end of August. And again, if you want to get in touch with us, you know the ways. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, send us an email, check out the show notes on the website, and you'll be able to find all the contact info. If you got any comments for myself or Joe, what you want us to do in future shows, please let us know. Joe, got any final comments for everybody or anything you want to shout
too
anyone
much,
you want to shout
than,
out anyone?
Go Tigers.
Yes, indeed. Go Tigers. Everybody have a great week. Enjoy some good baseball. See you in 7 days.
思う時はその温かささえ感じさせて、夕焼けとともに暮れてく私たちの一ページね、ありがとうって今は言わせてね、ありがとうって今は言わせて。